Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, the time is now, people. Talking sports with the
Brothers.
Time is now. What time is it, Rob? The time is now. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this excellent day in January. Of course, today is Tuesday, January 13th. I am Andre Peterson, as always, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, and you are talking sports with the 12th man. As always, like we always do, we want to welcome you, and I always like to kind of open the show up with checking in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Couldn't be better. Excited. Ready to talk some sports with the best co-host on the planet, Mr. Peterson. How's it going?
I think Rob's trying to butter me up, man, but everything is good, sir. That's all we do. We are ready to kick this bad boy off. Man, we are feeling like some national champions, and so we got a lot of things to discuss. So without further ado, we always invite you as the listening audience to check in with us. And we'll throw out a couple numbers for you. If you want to follow us, you want to talk to Rob, if you want to talk to myself, the easiest way to do that, we have a lot of ways to get in contact with us. First and foremost, you can call us on our toll-free number, and that number is, of course, 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available via social media if you want to follow us on social media. A lot of ways to do that. We always enjoy using Twitter. The number or the actual handle that you follow us is at number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Robert's favorite place to go is via Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com and put in Talking Sports 12th Man, or if you put /12thManSports, you will find us in that particular instance. Man, got a lot of things to go over, Rob, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Got a lot to cover, lots to cover. We even got breaking news. The Jets hiring Todd Bowles as a new head coach. And, of course, it's just breaking just as we're starting our show. And, of course, we'll probably get into that here in a little bit in our coaching carousel topic of the NFL.
Yeah, just saw that news kind of scroll across the screen, Rob. Not sure what the Falcons are doing. That's a whole other conversation. I'll let another coach get away, but I'm sure we'll talk about that, as you mentioned, in that coaching carousel topic. So we'll definitely dive into that, too. But if you were under a rock, Rob, a huge, huge game last night. Ohio State wins the national title. I'm not going to kind of pick on you, Rob, but I think last show you were predicting Oregon to pull us out because they were able to score. And you were almost right the first couple of series, but then seems like they got a little kind of hamstrung by Ohio State. Man, Ohio State just kind of handed it to them. And, you know, you talk about teams getting physical. Got to give Urban Meyer his credit, and it could have been 60-something. Could have been in the 60s if they didn't have all those turnovers, Rob.
Yeah, when you look at that football game last night, the line of scrimmage is where the difference was, and Ohio State dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And the offensive line turned out to be, toward the end of the season, the best offensive line in the country. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, this guy is a beast running the football, great speed, great power as well.
He's a freshman.
They controlled
the clock. Or something like that too, Rob?
He's a sophomore, Ezekiel Elliott.
He's
a sophomore.
Okay.
He's a sophomore. Okay. And, well, basically, they just dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, and that was the difference in the football game. And they just seemed stronger. Defense was fast. Anytime Mariota tried to run to the outside, the linebackers and safeties were there to meet him. And obviously he has built Urban Meyer, meaning he has built an SEC-caliber football team up there in Ohio State. And they turned out to be a dominant football team. And this was a team that a lot of people questioned should have even been in the playoffs. But now, obviously, they were rightfully in. The selection committee did a good job recognizing that. And you have to give credit where credit is due. And once again, congratulations to the Ohio State Buckeyes. An incredible job. I'm trying to figure out how they have a third-string quarterback who can throw the ball, and LSU don't have a first-stringer who can throw the ball. But that's another topic.
Rob, I always like to figure out a way to pull LSU in there. But no, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. Keep going, sir. I'm sorry. You have anything else to say about that, sir?
No. But, yeah, once again, congrats to the Buckeyes, Urban Meyer. You know, you got to give him credit for turning that program around. And it should be fun in the next few years and watching Big Ten football and see how Jim Harbaugh, if he can get Michigan up to where Ohio State is right now, I think that's going to be very interesting to watch here in the next few years. And, you know, it's going to take him at least 2 to 3 years to get Michigan up to that level, but it's going to be interesting to watch it.
Yeah, it's almost like you're seeing the changing of the guard, Rob, in that particular instance, too. And like I said, I'm going to talk about congratulations, as you mentioned, to Urban Meyer in Ohio State, obviously. A great game. And Urban Meyer has actually turned into one of the better coaches, Rob. He's almost getting Nick Saban-like, you know, winning national championship with two different schools. I am going to talk about real briefly, as you talked about, with Jim Harbaugh. It's good to see those two schools, you know, in the national spotlight, Rob, too, to see them playing well, right? It's good to see that. That's a great rivalry. You know, I don't know if you're going to talk about that. It's great to see that, too. And I can't wait for that, like you said, to see how these two schools are going to be, you know, and how that once Jim Harbaugh gets his players. The Big Ten may be able to rival, as much as I say, they may be able to rival a little bit the SEC, too, for sure.
Well, this is what I think. I think the Big Ten will be top-heavy. I don't know if they'll ever have the depth that the SEC has from 1 to 14. But they will be top-strong. What I mean by that, Ohio State's going to be strong. Michigan will eventually get back to where they
Michigan
were.
State.
And, you know, Michigan State's still a top-10 ball club as well. So they'll be top-strong. Like I said, I don't know if they'll have 10 teams that are capable you know, of going to a bowl and winning a bowl game like the SEC does on a year in, year out basis. But they will definitely, their top teams will be able to compete with the SEC. There's no doubt about it.
I'm all in like Tim Tebow, man. He had a great speech to Ohio State talking about never give up, never surrender, man. So I got to keep it moving, man. So that's what it's all about.
As always, a Tim Tebow conversation with my co-host. If you're listening for the first time, you know, there will be a Tim Tebow mention in every show.
I just for the fun of it, man.
He's got a man crush on Tim Tebow, people.
No, I just like to just mess around with you. I got to say, just as we wrap up this topic, too, and I was kind of leaning back and forth between who's going to win, because whenever Ohio State beat Alabama, I had a feeling this was going to be a lot more close than we anticipated. So, you know, like you talk about, we'll see how that plays out for sure. As you said, a lot of these players are coming back, Rob, and I guess we're going to talk about that. Are they, in your vantage point, do you think Ohio State is kind of a top team, top number one team next year going into the 2015 season?
Yeah, you know, I have my preseason top 10 for next season. Definitely I have Ohio State at the number one position. When you look at their roster, they're deep. They're young still, believe it or not. They have three capable quarterbacks. If all three of them decide to come back, I mean, there's some question marks about Braxton Miller transferring. There's some rumors out there tying him to Oregon, also tying him to LSU. So that's going to be interesting to see if he transfers to one of those two schools or if he returns to Ohio State. And, of course, Cardale Jones, there's some questions about whether he's going to turn pro. Looks like JT Barrett, out of all three of them, is the one that will definitely be back. So they will at least have at least one good quarterback back next year. There's no doubt with the potential to having all three back. So they'll be straight at the quarterback position. Ezekiel Elliott looked like he's becoming one of the better, or if not the best, running back in the country. Obviously with Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley going pro, you can make a case it's going to be between Ezekiel Elliott in Ohio State and Leonard Fournette at LSU. Will be the top two running backs in the country next year, going into next season. So this team's going to be strong. They're going to be deep. They've got the offensive and defensive lines intact, where they're going to be extremely strong at those positions. They have solid wide receivers as well. they're definitely my clear-cut favorite going into next season in the number one spot.
Rob, you don't need a quarterback whenever you can just hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette. I'm just telling you, man, you don't need a quarterback, man. Just think about that.
Well, you know, when you're talking LSU football here, you know, they're going to be a team that's going to be loaded at wide receiver. They just got the number one wide receiver at a high school in the country coming in next year. So the weapons are going to be in place. You're going to have a quarterback that can get the football to these weapons. They're going to be loaded. And I tell you what, I currently do not have LSU in my preseason top 10 next season just because of the quarterback position. But their talent, their defense is going to be veteran late in the next season, which they haven't had in a while. They did finish the season with the number one ranked defense in the SEC. Most of those guys are returning, so they're going to be talent all over the field at LSU. If they can get the quarterback position straightened out, LSU could be a clear-cut favorite to win the SEC next year. But right now, it's not straightened out, so I don't even have them in the top 10.
It's messed up, Rob, but we are going to ask why, you know, why LSU can't get a quarterback. And I guess we're going to keep an eye on the show, everyone, because I'm sure as we get closer to mock draft, a lot of players are leaving for LSU, a lot of players leave for Alabama. So we'll keep an eye on that as well, too, Rob. Why can't LSU get a quarterback, Rob? What's the deal? Is Les Miles and Michael Putin quarterbacks? I mean, they're not playing a pro-style offense. What's the deal with the LSU? If I'm just going to kind of let you kind of ride this little train here, sir.
Well, it's a little strange, obviously. Of course, you know, we've had Jamarcus Russell, who was a great college QB, then bombed in the pros. Obviously, he was recruited by Nick Saban. Matt Flynn helped win LSU a national title in 07. He was also a Nick Saban recruit. He's a backup quarterback for Green Bay behind Aaron Rodgers right now. But since then, you know, Jordan Jefferson, a four-star recruit, you think he's going to be solid. When he came out of high school, he was the eighth-ranked QB in the country. So you think you're getting one of the top QBs in the country. Ryan Perilou was the number one high school recruit in America. Wound up getting into some off-the-field incidents, never really panned out. So it's not like they haven't recruited top-notch guys. Even when you look at the two guys on their roster right now, Anthony Jennings right out of Marietta, Georgia, from your area, was a four-star recruit. A lot of teams all over the country recruited him. And even a backup at LSU, Brandon Harris, was the number two, number three quarterback in the country, right out of the Louisiana, right out of the Shreveport area. So both of these quarterbacks that LSU have are highly recruited. You got Cam Cameron as offense coordinator, a guy who's coached quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, helped develop Joe Flacco, helped develop Drew Brees. So you think you got the elements in place, but for some reason, you know, other than Zach Mettenberger over the last 4 or 5 years, they just haven't been able to hit on a quarterback that they've, recruited yet. Maybe the light bulb will turn off Anthony Jennings next season. I'm sure LSU is hoping that he or Brandon Harris. Brandon Harris is a tremendous potential. He's got an NFL arm. He's got the athletic ability. But he's going to have to get it between the ears to take that next step. So it's going to be interesting to see if Cam Cameron can get one of these two guys there, or if they need to bring somebody in. I know there's talk of Everett Golston or Braxton Miller, if not both, possibly transferring to LSU. So we'll see what happens with that.
So the way you make it sound like, Rob, is that you took me on a nice little ride as far as quarterbacks. Is a situation where, maybe that these guys haven't developed in the pros, or they haven't had a kind of a history of getting quarterbacks, so it's probably lead to, like, a lot of the top quarterbacks not going to LSU? Is that kind of what you're trying to insinuate, if you will, sir?
Well, I think what I'm trying to say is they have recruited highly rated quarterbacks, but for whatever reason, the guys that they're recruiting, a lot of them haven't panned out under Les Miles. So you have to question, are they developing the quarterbacks properly? You would think you get bringing a guy like Cam Cameron, and you would think you should be able to start developing quarterbacks under Cam Cameron, a guy that's developed Joe Flacco, Drew Brees, you know, et cetera, on the NFL level. And so they're bringing in highly recruited guys, but for whatever reason over the last few years, they just haven't been able to coach these guys up. So that's definitely a concern if you're an LSU fan.
pardon me, America, I just had to let Robert have a little thing here. He was really excited about that, too. So, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't even a topic of ours today, but, you know, somehow we brought it up.
I had to pass over that, too. But let's get back on track here. I was on me. I was asking some good questions here. Let's talk about Ohio State, Robert. Do you think this is the beginning of a dynasty at Ohio State, sir?
It very well could be. Like I said, it's going to be, I think, a few years before Michigan is in that level of being able to compete and get the recruits that Ohio State's bringing. Jim Harbaugh is a heck of a coach. I think he can be just as good of a coach as Urban Meyer is. And right now, you know, I rank Urban Meyer as the second-best coach in college football. I still rank him second to Nick Saban, that guy in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the second-best coach. I think Harbaugh is the caliber of a coach that can work his way into a top-five college football coach. But I still think it's going to take him a few years to get his system implemented, get the kind of people he needs in place, get his personnel to where he needs it to be to compete. So I think they're definitely in the dynasty stage when it comes to the Big Ten, and they could very well win the national title again next season. So they have an opportunity to have a dynasty here. Getting through the Big Ten is a lot easier than getting through the SEC. So he should have no problems, you know, being a top five team based on the type of schedule that they're going to be playing compared to an SEC team. So they definitely have an opportunity to build a dynasty here.
Greg, good afternoon. Point of the show. Once again, if you want to call in and share your thoughts, 424-243-9519. Let's keep this bad boy moving. A third-string quarterback, Rob, Cardale Jones, man, came out of nowhere performing on a huge stage. And if you're asking the question, is he ready for the NFL? I mean, he's already been able to be a third-string quarterback. I don't know what's happening. Urban is just, you know, hiding quarterbacks, but that's a good resume for him to come in and the last couple of games on the huge stage where I come in and perform, man. Is he ready for the NFL? Do you think he's got a future right now in your vantage point?
Well, you know, when you look at his arm, he's got a very live arm. He's definitely got an NFL arm. There's no doubt about it. Probably got the strongest arm of any of those three. Ohio State quarterbacks. He's got good mobility. He seems to have good pocket presence. And obviously, saying this, he's still got a lot to learn. And, you know, it's funny. The guy started three games, and already it looks like he can be a second-round NFL draft pick. I think your concern, I think he still has a lot to learn and still would benefit to going back to college. The concern here, if you're Cardale Jones, you go back to Ohio State, let's say he doesn't win the quarterback job. You got to keep in mind, Urban Meyer runs a spread offense, not necessarily a pro-style offense, so it still may not be the best offense suited to Cardale Jones' skills. So he could go back to Ohio State and not win a starting job because Urban Meyer is going to want a guy that can run a spread more than who can run a pro-style offense. And so if you're Cardale Jones, that's something you really got to think about. I think at the moment, I think Cardale Jones thinks he needs more schooling, and I think he does. But at the same time, will Ohio State benefit him if he goes back and he's not the starter? And that could bring his draft stock down from where it is now. So it's going to be a big decision for Cardale Jones.
What is he? Is he a redshirt sophomore, Rob? What is his
yes, he's a redshirt sophomore, and he is draft eligible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he's definitely a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
Did we go over our top 10, or did we miss that one?
We missed that. I'm sorry. We can jump back in there, too. I know we kind of talked a little LSU there. We got about 10 minutes or 11 minutes, so we can do that, too. I'm sorry. I was kind of jumping around, too. So, yeah, we can talk about your top 10 real quick, sir, for sure.
Yeah, and, of course, if you have a top 10 as well, you know, we normally like to do this at the end of college football season or any season. You know, kind of give a sneak peek into next season. We normally do this after college basketball season as well. I already mentioned that I had Ohio State at the number one position, and as of now, don't have LSU in the top 10 until we can figure out the quarterback position. But I think they're very capable of getting there if they can fix that fix that breaking news here. Number 4, Duke loses to Miami tonight at home. Wow, that's a major upset. Number 2 in our top 10, TCU. They were very impressive in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl there in Atlanta, totally dominating Ole Miss. And Trayvon Boykin is going to be a Heisman candidate next season. He's returning at the quarterback position. Gary Patterson teams always play great defense. And so that I have them at the number 2 position going into next season. A lot of returning starters on his football team. Number 3, the other Big 12 team, Baylor, they got shut out of the playoff. They lost to, I believe they lost to Michigan State in the Cotton Bowl. And but they'll be strong. They're going to lose the quarterback. Bassett Russell is a quarterback a lot of people don't know of. This guy is very capable. He's going to step right in this offense at Baylor is not going to miss a beat. Sean Oakman, who's a highly NFL-tied defensive end, just said he's going to return to Baylor. So they're going to go into next season strong as well. Should be another TCU-Baylor run for the Big 12 title. TCU will have him at home next year. Number 4, I still got Oregon up there. They're going to be loaded at every other position going back. Armstead, their All-American defensive end, just announced today that he's going to declare for the draft. So other than he and Mariota, they should be fine as long as they can replace a quarterback. And once again, there's some talk of Braxton Miller going to Oregon as well. So that might help them, and he won't have to sit out a year either. Number 5 at Florida State, Sean McGuire is going to take over the quarterback position. But they got a lot of talent everywhere else on their roster coming back. Jimbo Fisher, it looks like he may even have a number 2 recruiting class coming in this season as well. So they will have talent galore there in Tallahassee once more. Number 6, I got Auburn. Jeremy Johnson takes over at quarterback. Another guy that's very athletic, very able. They'll be able to run that Gus Malzahn offense. And without missing a beat. Number 7, Alabama. There's a major question mark at quarterback. Of course, you're losing Amari Cooper, Landon Collins, T.J. Yeldon. They're going to, but, you know, Alabama recruits well. They'll be able to replace most of these guys. But the quarterback is going to be the big question mark. Number 8, Michigan State. They're getting Connor Cook back at QB. They're still going to be solid on defense. Number 9, USC. There's going to be no more excuses at USC. You know, most of their sanctions are just about over. They're going to have a stacked roster next season. Cody Kessler will be a Heisman candidate at quarterback position as well. Number 10, Notre Dame. Just a matter of who's going to be at quarterback, but they're going to be loaded everywhere else. Malik Zaire or Everett Golson, you know, if Golson decides to return to Notre Dame. But that was a brief look into next season and the top 10.
Got it. Love it. That's a great thing. I'm gonna let you hold that, Rob, because we got about 7 minutes left. We got to talk about a lot of stuff here. I do want to talk about the NFL, but good list, man. I think that's fantastic, man. We appreciate all your hard work in copying that, sir, too. So good job for sure. And we'd like to post that a little later on, too, if you don't mind, sir, as we move forward with that for the early preseason top 10 for 2015. Some NFL coaching rumors, Rob. Not sure if you were surprised John Fox was let go immediately after the game. Looks like, I don't know, we'll talk about that as far as Peyton Manning. He found out later he had a little injury to his quad. Did not look that good that game. And I guess the question, Rob, we're going to talk about some new hires and whatnot. Was that kind of a rash move for the Broncos? And I'm sure you wouldn't make that move unless you already had a candidate already in mind. But let's talk about some coaching rumors, Rob. I'm going to kick it to you, Rob, once again.
Well, I'm going to actually start with your Atlanta Falcons, and we're going to get to the John Fox situation here in just a minute. And we're going to start with your Atlanta Falcons. You know, prior to the show tonight, you know, these were the candidates going into the Atlanta Falcons situation: Josh McDaniels, Doug Marrone, Terrell Austin, Dan Quinn, Todd Bowles, and Keith Armstrong. And I actually had Todd Bowles and Josh McDaniels as the favorite, with Keith Armstrong being the, you know, closely behind in the situation. Obviously, Todd Bowles, as we broke the news at the start of our show, accepted the Jets, so that eliminates him being from the Falcons candidate. So I think it's going to come down to Josh McDaniels and Keith Armstrong. Those of you all who don't know Keith Armstrong, he's currently the Falcons special teams coach. Who the Falcons are very high on as well. And Josh McDaniels, of course, is the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. And you almost have to think with the Falcons just firing Mike Smith, defensive coordinator, that, you know, when you have a quarterback like Matt Ryan and the weapons that they have at the wide receiver position, that maybe they would go with an offensive-minded head coach. And so I'm going to say it's going to come down to McDaniels and Keith Armstrong. I'm sure this is a situation that you've been watching closely as well. And if you want to add your comments to it and where you think the direction the Falcons are going to go, I think it's going to come down to those two candidates.
You know, I think it's going to be a totally different thing. I'm hearing rumors, Rob, that Josh McDaniels is not leaving the Patriots. I'm hearing that it's actually going to be between Terrell Austin and they may be possibly waiting for Dan Quinn because he's a coordinator for Seattle. So that's kind of what I'm hearing. We want to get somebody in pretty quickly because, obviously, you know, the Senior Bowl is going to be coming around right around the corner. So I'm hearing that they want to kind of get somebody in place for that. I know Keith Armstrong did have a good interview, but I kind of have a feeling, Rob, that they are kind of leaning towards Terrell Austin in this particular juncture, especially as these people are making moves. You may hear if he doesn't get the offer for Terrell Austin, then they're possibly going to wait for Dan Quinn, but that's kind of what I'm hearing on that front. I don't know if you have anything to say about that. That's kind of what I'm hearing from our camp.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So there's the news on the Atlanta Falcons. We'll move on to the Chicago Bears here. These are the list of candidates I have for the Bears. Adam Gase, Dan Quinn. I have Todd Bowles here. Obviously, he's taken, so he's off the list. John Fox, Gary Kubiak, and Terrell Austin as well. I think this is being narrowed down to three of these guys. It looks like Terrell Austin was the favorite with Gary Kubiak coming in a close second. But now, you know, with John Fox being available, I think the Bears are going to give him a strong look. And I would say he would probably move past Terrell Austin as the number one option the Bears' wish list as well. And look for that to happen. But I think it's going to come down to John Fox, Terrell Austin, and Gary Kubiak in Chicago, with Fox being the leader, in my opinion. I don't know if you want to add a little 2 cents on the Bears situation there.
I agree. I think John Fox, they're getting over the no-name and Trestle. John Fox is a known defensive guy. I think that's kind of almost like a no-brainer for sure. I'm kind of curious about Gary Kubiak. I know you're going to get to Denver. Is that the opening that he's kind of been waiting for? Because they said that he's kind of staying in Baltimore, but I think he loves Denver. But I'll let you get that, too. That's my little 2 cents. But
yeah.
Carry on, sir.
Yeah. And we'll go right into Denver, speaking of Denver. Right now, Gary Kubiak is one of the three candidates. Obviously, Denver's going to look at Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, and Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator. I personally think it's going to come down to Adam Gase and Gary Kubiak. I don't think Jack Del Rio will get the job. Peyton Manning, if he decides to come back, he wants Adam Gase back. I really believe that he's the guy in Denver. Peyton Manning doesn't want to change offensive minds again at this stage of his career. So if Denver really wants him back, I think Adam Gase is the guy with Gary Kubiak coming in second place at the Denver situation. So that's just my 2 cents from the sources that we have. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, real quick, I want to keep this train of thought going, Rob. I know we got about a minute or so. Can you go ahead and wrap up the show real quick as we prepare for the OT portion? We'll keep this moving for sure.
Oh, we certainly appreciate everyone tuning in. You don't want to miss our OT portion. We still got to talk about the Jets, Oakland, and San Fran. Of course, the Jets have filled their vacancy tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit too. And we're going to talk a little bit about Rex Ryan and some more NFL talk. We're kind of going to briefly go over our mock draft. We're going to cover picks 11 to 20 in our OT portion. We can't give you that portion live. So you want to tune into the same link on tomorrow, anytime tomorrow. Listen to it. Give us your feedback. Send us some Facebook messages. Tweet us. Let us know if you think we're way off or let us know if we're hitting it right on the money. And we certainly appreciate you all tuning in and some feedback from you all as well. Next Tuesday, we'll be back on the air at the same time, same channel, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And we're ready for OT portion. Any closing remarks, Andre?
No, just want to thank you, Rob, once again for a great show. Once again, we appreciate all the feedback, Rob. I've been getting a lot of good comments. Everybody's been enjoying the mock draft and last week, too. So we'll keep it going as well. And that is it for the live portion of Talking Sports and Sports Man. And we are officially into the OT portion right now. Let's keep it moving, Rob. I was pretty interested in your thoughts about Denver. I'm very curious about Adam Gase because I'm sure if you're John Elway, you don't make a move like that unless you have a backup plan. So something must have happened, or I don't know if we called that John Fox was getting fired. Was that kind of a shock to you? Because that or John Elway is trying to set some high standards, and we'll talk about that because I'm curious your thoughts about the Peyton Manning too. But, yeah, keep it moving there, Rob. I'll let you finish your thought over there.
I personally believe, you know, there could have been some conflicts there between Fox, but I think this had a lot to do with not wanting to lose Adam Gase. I mean, I could be wrong, and obviously if they hire somebody else, then I would definitely admit to being wrong. But I think this was a lot to appease Peyton Manning. They could have definitely kept John Fox as head coach, but then Adam Gase would have got a head coach position somewhere else. And obviously Peyton does not want to come back without anyone else. And so I think this was a lot to do. We're going to have to keep Adam Gase if we're going to have an opportunity of bringing back Peyton Manning for another season. And so I would be shocked, but I just personally think Gase is the guy, with Kubiak being a possible second option for the Denver Broncos. But I think that's what it came down to. So what can we do to make sure we keep Peyton Manning happy?
One team that's flying under the radar right now, Rob, is the Oakland Raiders. You know, first out the gate, the first team was to fire their coach, Rob. And now it seems like they're what's the word of the trade? Have you heard anything as far as who they like as far as a head coach candidate for the Raiders?
Well, they have a lot of candidates. I mean, they've looked at Pep Hamilton. They've looked at Todd Bowles. Obviously, he's off the list. Tony Sperano, Mike Shanahan, Jack Del Rio, Daryl Bevel, Eric Mangini, and Pat Shurmur. It looks to me that Jack Del Rio is the favorite right now. So don't look for him to be back in Denver. Del Rio wants to be a head coach again, and it looks like he is the favorite with the Oakland Raiders at the moment. And so just look for that here in the next week or so, next few days even maybe. But it looks as though Jack Del Rio is the favorite. Obviously, I think Del Rio wants to interview with Denver to see what's there, if there's any hope for him to get that job. But I think he's going to wind up being the Oakland's choice here when it's all said and done. So we'll see if that really happens here in the next few days.
Raider Nation getting possibly Jack Del Rio. That's an interesting move here. All right, our last opening. Go ahead, Rob. Let's kind of finish this up here.
Yeah, we already talked about the Jets getting Todd Bowles, and actually prior to the show, I thought Dan Quinn was the favorite there. Obviously, either they didn't want to wait any longer, or they just really like Todd Bowles, who a lot of teams are very high on as well, a really bright head coach, and he's going to New York now and see if he can turn that Jets situation around. A very quality defensive-minded coach. And we'll see if they can get that offense and get the quarterback situation straightened out. And San Fran, we know we got a lot of listeners. Sorry we couldn't talk about this on a live portion. But hopefully you guys tuning in the OT portion to hear this, what we have to say about San Francisco. Still a very talented team. Josh McDaniels, Mike Shanahan, Terrell Austin, Dan Quinn, Todd Bowles, of course, off the list, Vic Fangio, and Adam Gase. There's the name. It looks to me that San Francisco really wants to hire Adam Gase. Obviously, I think Denver wants to hire him too. And so I think it's going to come down to if Denver is going to offer him the job, I think he'll probably stay there. If not, I think he's got San Francisco right there in his back pocket as well. It looks like he's the clear-cut favorite with San Fran. So that's going to be interesting if he does go to San Fran. You know, how he can help in the developmental process of Colin Kaepernick as well. But he's a favorite there at the moment. He's also, in my opinion, a favorite with Denver. I think he's going to have a couple of opportunities here.
Why do you think that Rex Ryan jumped to be the Bills head coach? I mean, I didn't really see this coming. Was it true that you're hearing word on the street that he wants to get some payback on playing the Jets twice? Or is that a good job? Or what are your thoughts about that, Rob?
Well, all you have to do is look at that Buffalo Bills defense and get excited about it. I mean, that was a team that was 9-7 last year, had one of the best defenses in the league, and led the NFL in sacks. One of the best defensive lines, one of the better secondaries, quietly, is kept in the National Football League, too. And so, you know, you can't help. He's a defensive-minded coach. You cannot help but get excited about that defense, you know, going to Buffalo. And, you know, this team is probably a very good quarterback away from being very successful. And, you know, you got Sammy Watkins, a development prospect at the wide receiver position, so you got a weapon there. And so this is a, you know, a team that, you know, I was very shocked that Doug Marrone decided to leave because it looks to be that it can be an up-and-coming ball club. Now, the question is, can he get the right offensive coordinator in there? I know he's hoping that Greg Roman comes with him from San Francisco. That's who he's targeting to be his offensive coordinator. And so he's hoping to get Roman from San Fran. And it looks like Jim Schwartz is leaving, and so he's going to have to get a defensive coordinator. But defense won't be the problem. He's a defensive-minded coach. Whoever he brings in, the defensive coordinator, he's going to have his footprint on it anyway from a defensive standpoint. So I think it's easy to get excited about that team. You know, it could be a little lanyap. It's, you know, something we say in New Orleans is a little something extra by playing the Jets couple of times a year as well. But I think overall, if you look at that Buffalo job, that defense is tremendous.
You know, Rob, it seems like to me that he left a Jet situation to be ironic similar to where he's going into now, Rob. He's going right into a team that has a pretty good defense, but no quarterback, you know. You know, obviously Kyle Orton retired. E.J. Manuel, I don't know if he's the answer. You've got a little bit better offense with, you know, better weapons, but it's almost similar to the situation they left, so I'm not really sure about that move. Maybe he was clouded in the judge, I just want to get back in the Jets. That's just my opinion. You know, I think he made a rash decision. If you're Doug Marrone, yeah, why are you leaving? A pretty good scenario. That's just a whole other conversation to me, so I don't understand that at all.
Well, based on our sources, Doug Marrone was unhappy with them trading up for Sammy Watkins. He did not want to sign off on that move. He wasn't excited about that move. And so that was disappointing to him, and he just felt like that he wasn't clicking with the front office there. And so, yeah, when you look at that's a very interesting point you made, Rex Ryan leaving a similar situation with the Jets. I think his first couple of years with the Jets, this is how his football team looked. You know, mm-hmm. If you remember, the Jets made the NFC Championship game after going 9-7. Mark Sanchez was a, you know, solid to average quarterback, but he had a very good defense. And so he was able to make it to the NFC Championship game with that kind of team, Rex Ryan. So okay. I think he's hoping that he can get them over the hump. And because obviously this past couple of years, the Jets teams was not good on either side of the football. But this looks like the kind of team he had his first couple of years with the Jets when they went to the NFC Championship game. So I think he's hoping that he can kind of get them over the hump there as well.
Gotcha. I'll give that one to you. Let's talk about I do want to get into the championship weekend predictions too, but let's do a quick option for Peyton Manning. Is he looked like every bit of 38 years old yesterday. Found a bad injury toward the end of the afterwards. So is he coming back, Rob? Is he going to ride off into the sunset, if you will?
Well, I think it all's going to depend. These next few weeks is going to, you know, tell us a lot. I think it's just going to depend on what direction John Elway goes with his ball club. If Adam Gase is the head coach, I 100% expect Peyton Manning to be back next year. Anybody else, I think it's 50-50. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting there. But I do think he's either going to play in Denver or nowhere else. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else. You know, I know that some people thinking he could possibly go to another team. I don't see that. I think if he does return, it would definitely be Denver. If Adam Gase is still there, I think he's 100% back in Denver. Anybody else, 50-50.
Let's talk about the championship weekend prediction. I don't know why we're picking on Denver right now. Sorry, Alex, my barber, he's probably heartbroken. I don't think anyone called the Colts beating the Broncos, especially earlier in the year, Rob. I know I can't speak for you, but for me, I was assuming that it was going to be a repeat of last year's Super Bowl with Seattle and Denver, especially the way they loaded up on defense, but they just kind of fell down the stretch there. You got the Colts and the Patriots. I'm going to go on the limb and say that I don't think the Colts can outbeat the Patriots right now. Andrew Luck is playing phenomenal. He's got some time to catch up, but right now I think this is going to be tough for him to overcome playing playing the Patriots at home at Foxborough.
That's going to be interesting. I think the Colts can compete with these people. I really do.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't know if I want to – I may stop short of picking an upset, but I think the Colts have a very good opportunity to go on the road and win this game. I really do. I think Chuck Pagano has done a phenomenal job in turning his defense around. And if Andrew Luck doesn't turn the ball over, you know, this could be a this could really be an upset in the making. I really believe that. I'm looking at a really close football game, and I'm having a hard time picking this one. You know, I'm definitely picking Seattle over Green Bay. I'll just go to that one. I think Seattle will beat the Packers. But I think the harder pick is the Colts and the Patriots. I really do, because I personally believe the Colts have a shot of going in there and upsetting them. And so we'll see what happens. I'm going to go out on a limb, Indy in Seattle.
Wow. I think they're just a really good running back away, if you ask me, Rob. They've got a veteran in Reggie Wayne, and I'm a Colt. I'm from Indiana, so right, you know, I'm happy to see the progression. I just think that they're just one or two pieces away. That's just me, but they've been playing like that. I mean, it was a huge win for them to knock out Denver. You know, obviously the defense stepped up, Rob. I'm just a little nervous because I don't think that I think the Patriots kind of matched them, and maybe tough, you know. Bill Belichick is a master at confusing even a lot of veteran quarterbacks, so I think he may have some tricks up his sleeve for the Colts, and he likes to make quarterbacks uncomfortable. But that's me in that particular instance. And I do want to make a point as we get ready to wrap up, so we got 3 minutes, about Chuck Pagano calling the league office about the Patriots took place too. Now, what's up with that?
Well, I think he wanted to have a better understanding of eligible receivers so they can be a little bit more prepared for the Patriots this weekend. So, obviously, there was a lot of mix-up with John Harbaugh and the Ravens and some of the Patriots' trick plays and trick formations. So, Pagano wanted to kind of just discuss some of the plays with the league, get a better understanding of which players are eligible, which players are not eligible. And just a little tactic that he's using to see what he needs to do to coach up his team to be ready for some of these trick plays against the
Health
Patriots this
prepared.
Weekend. Yeah,
Health
yeah. So
prepared,
I think it was nothing
prepared.
More than that. Yeah. And so it's going to be interesting to see how well. I'm going out on a limb. I'm picking the Colts to win this game. We'll see what happens. I could be way off. I could look like a genius if they pull it off.
I can't wait to talk to you on Tuesday. Whenever we have this. So we got about 2 minutes, Rob. I know I would love to table the agreement that the Cowboys made with Jason Garrett. That's a good move, as well as Brock Osweiler and continuing the mock draft, and if you will, too. So can we table that for next week, kind of save that, if you will?
Absolutely,
wrap up
yeah. We couldn't get to all of our topics, but, you know, our point is the topics we do talk about is to cover them with a good job and with some accuracy, and I think we did that. So, we will table some of the other topics for next week, people. Well, we really appreciate everyone tuning in. And join us next Tuesday night, same time, same channel, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Germany, don't forget about us. It'll be Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Don't forget to join us next week. We'll be preparing and predictions for the Super Bowl on next week.
Yeah, you just got in there, Rob. As always, thank you. Great job tonight, sir. We'd love to. We're going to continue this on next week as we talk, but we'll keep talking about the deal with Jason Garrett. That was good for the Cowboys, fresh off of that game, pretty competitive game, and the continuation, Rob, of the call with Dez Bryant, kind of good kind of got a little karma if you're a Cowboy fan. That's just me. We'll talk about our mock draft recap as well as, the Broncos and the next quarterback. Is Brock Osweiler the answer? I heard somewhere in the grapevine Jay Cutler's coming back and or Jay Cutler may go to Arizona. I have no idea. I'm hearing some little rumors about that, too, so we'll keep an eye on that, too, Rob.
Yeah, I don't see Cutler going to Denver. Denver's very high on Osweiler, just to get that in really quickly. And so they're ready to – if Peyton Manning does not come back, they're ready to turn the ball over to Osweiler. Don't see Cutler going back to Denver. Not at all.
Talk to you later, guys. Have a good evening.